Good evening.
Blog Talk Radio.
There's a better world that's a-coming, tell you why. There's a better world that's a-coming, tell you why. We will feed them on the land, on the sea, and in the sky. There's a better world that's a-coming, tell you why. There's a better world that's a-coming, don't you see? When we'll all be union and we'll all be free. There's a better world that's a-coming, don't you see?
Good evening, and welcome to the Progressive News Network. My name is Nikki Royce, and I am the co-producer of this illustrious program, along with our news director, Rick Spezak, who is on assignment. Anyway, I'm happy to be here, and I've got two incredible powerhouse women this evening to talk to us about their particular subjects. I just wanted to tell you very quickly that this show is brought to you by Imagineering Productions for full-service marketing efforts for your website and on and on, and the Media Goddess Worldwide, which is public relations, and so we like to be nice to our sponsors. And also want to say welcome to everybody that's coming over from Here Be Monsters, which is our sister progressive show. It starts at 6 o'clock on Blog Talk Radio. And also remind you that you can hear the AMTID show on WMEL AM 1300 on Saturdays. So they are part of our friendly little group. Anyway, I want to introduce you now. I believe I have Meredith Achman on the line. Hello?
Hi, Mickey.
Meredith?
How are you?
Hi. Good to see you. Good to hear you. Okay, so Meredith is the president of the Palm Beach chapter of the National Organization for Women. She is the vice president of the Florida chapter, National Organization for Women. So,
amazing. If you have a chance to speak with her,
hello?
On this, it's astounding. During the 1960s, Miss Ireland worked as a flight attendant, and she discovered discrepancies with her health care insurance coverage. So what she did
no
is she stood up and she fought back.
Can you hear me,
Meredith? The United States Department of Labor ultimately ruled in her favor,
and it
began her long journey of activism. She served as our national president from 1991 to 2001 as our longest-serving president. So ladies and gentlemen, please help me welcome Miss Ireland.
About our award winners and others in the room into the talk, because I have to tell you my overwhelming feeling as I stand up here is of deja vu all over again. I'll come back to that. But I also wish that I had worn. I have this wonderful pair of ruby red slippers. And I would have worn my own ruby red slippers with a pin. Because I think that we don't have to go back to the Wizard of Oz, but to remind us that we need to have all of us working together to help the Republicans find their heart. I'd like the Democrats to find their courage. And all of us need to put our very best brains on solving the problems that we're facing as a movement, as women and men committed to equality. Because when I say I have deja vu all over again, I think back to my, sorry, I can't stand back here. It's just not right. When I think about deja vu all over again, I think about when I was coming out of high school, and after my first year of college, I got married because, of course, at 17, I knew exactly what I needed in a husband.
Oh. Mickey, are you there?
Yeah. Okay, good.
Bye. Hello?
Are you
Meredith?
There?
Yeah. Yeah, we got a little crossed wires Anyway, I think it was like the beginning of Patricia Ireland, so I'm so sorry. Anyway, I wanted to introduce you. I was introducing you, and then I got a little famished. So tell me, Patricia Ireland was, we were all at, Rick and I and his beautiful wife, Linda, were all at your luncheon recently for the Susan Anthony Awards, and it was very packed, as I recall, and we had to put extra tables out. There were so many people, and so I remember have 19 minutes of Patricia Ireland talking. She's your keynote speaker. So my question is, what do you want to tell us about the Susan B. Anthony Luncheon, and why did you select Patricia Ireland?
Well, the Susan B. Anthony Luncheon is our annual fundraiser. It's also our opportunity to recognize our Feminist of the Year, and this year that was Judith Selzer, or that is Judith Selzer. And we also honor the Blood, Sweat, and Tears Award, which is like the Unsung Hero Award, which went to emergency medical assistance from Palm Beach County, who does amazing work in making sure that women who can't afford their abortions are subsidized to the cost of abortion. The reason that we chose Patricia Ireland, I mean, it was really a no-brainer. Patricia Ireland is, I believe, the longest-running national president of NARAL. She's also on the national board, so I know that she's conscious of the most current issues and what they are and how NARAL addresses them. And her resume is just amazing. The woman is a trailblazer, and besides that, she's got an incredible personality that just warms the heart and boggles the mind all at the same time, and she just makes sure that people are conscious of what's going on, but she doesn't bombard them with it. She just did an amazing job, and I knew she would.
Okay, all right. Well, Rick recorded her from his trusty tape recorder that he takes with him everywhere he goes. So I think we'll just hit the button here and listen to what she had to say, because as I recall, she was a very powerful speaker, too. So let's just listen, okay?
Very important career that is just amazing. If you have a chance to speak with her on it, it's just astounding. During the 1960s, Ms. Ireland worked as a flight attendant, and she discovered discrepancies with her health care insurance coverage. So what she did is she stood up and she fought back. The United States Department of Labor ultimately ruled in her favor, and it began her long journey of activism. She served as our national president from 1991 to 2001 as our longest serving president. So ladies and gentlemen, please help me welcome Ms. Patricia Ireland.
About our award winners and others in the room into the talk, because I have to tell you my overwhelming feeling as I stand up here is of deja vu all over again. We'll come back to that. But I also wish that I had worn, I have this wonderful pair of ruby red slippers, and I would have worn my own ruby red slippers with a pin. Because I think that we don't have to go back to the Wizard of Oz, but to remind us that we need to have all of us working together to help the Republicans find their heart. I'd like the Democrats to find their courage. Yeah. And all of us need to put our very best brains on solving the problems that we're facing as a movement, as women and men committed to equality. Because when I say I have deja vu all over again, I think back to my, sorry, I can't stand back here. It's just not right. When I think about deja vu all over again, I think about when I was coming out of high school, and after my first year of college, I got married because, of course, at 17, I knew exactly what he needed in a husband. He was the most handsome man I'd ever seen. He had a car and he could dance. So the reason I bring him up is because I think of going with my mother as additional credibility, and I've lived in a small town. My engagement had been announced in the local newspaper. I took my mother with me when I went to the doctor to ask for birth control. And the doctor said, come back after the ceremony. Now, I was not sure how that was supposed to work. We were going to exchange vows, go to the reception, swing by his office on the way out. And now I know that at that time in this country, birth control was illegal, even for married couples in some states. And while it wasn't illegal where I was in Indiana, it certainly was not encouraged. And so now I feel as if it's all starting over again. And in some ways, as you'll hear, I'm actually grateful for that. I think also of the deja vu line because in 1994, the National Organization for Women, of which I was then president, had a flush rush campaign. And that was, at the time, we were working on issues of sexual harassment, which you will recall were big in the news in the early 90s, had come about when Anita Hill made her undesired and to her unwelcome disclosure that she had been sexually harassed by a man who was on the Supreme Court for the rest of our lives. Thank you very much. So we were doing a whole campaign on sexual harassment. The whole country was having a dialogue about it. And Rush Limbaugh went on his show and said that the feminazis, now let's start there, remember he coined that phrase, feminazis. Think for a minute about what it does to a movement to have feminism equated with Nazism, with incredible evil. And all of that just slides by. He coined the phrase, people pick it up. Feminazis were ruining courtship by trying to stop sexual harassment. This is only one of many things in a long line. But what happened then? The Florida Citrus Commission, who had already been in trouble with us for hiring Anita Bryant, that famous songstress who sang about orange juice and also did the campaign against Miami-Dade's human rights ordinance, which was one of the very first and had something called Save Our Children. So they then couldn't help themselves. They had gotten rid of her, but they had to give $1 million to Rush Limbaugh to speak on behalf of Florida orange juice. You know, Rush has a lot of, actually, of contacts with this state, of course. We are one of the major OxyContin conduits. Anyway, so 1994, we did a flush rush campaign because of the Florida Citrus Commission paying him $1 million. And we were successful in getting the Florida Citrus Commission to back off. Not only did they back off, but then the state legislature that year was in the appointment confirmation of new people to the Florida Citrus Commission, which is usually rather pro forma, held off and made a lot of noise about the fact that, first of all, there were 6 men and 1 woman, and they were wanting to confirm more men, and second of all, that they had given this contract to Rush. They backpedaled like crazy. Oh, no, he wasn't our spokesperson. We were just trying to reach out to orange juice drinkers, blah, blah, blah. His contract was not renewed. Now he has the audacity to attack Robin Tyler. Some of you know is a strong, long feminist activist and a stand-up comic, one of the funniest women in the movement. It's one of the best-kept secrets in the movement that we have a lot of fun. But Robin and her partner Diane were together for 18 years. Starting in 2001, they had applied for a marriage certificate or a marriage license every year in California. And they were the plaintiffs in the case that just went up to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, which ruled that the California voters could not constitutionally vote against somebody's equal rights and equal marriage. So Robin and then her wife got married during that brief hiatus when the California law had gone into effect allowing equal marriage and the voters turning it out. Rush attacked them because, unfortunately, I mean, we used to joke and say, yes, lesbians and gays should be able to get married, and why should we be, you know, they be the only ones who are happy? I've been married for 38 years. I say that as a joke. But he attacked her because she and Diane are getting divorced. And he said, you know, this just shows that same-sex couples don't last. They have no commitment. He was on his fourth wife. They don't have commitment. I mean, so, you know, there's lots of good reasons to worry about the lack of commitment in modern marriage, but I don't think it's Robin Tyler and Diane's. So he's now had these nonsensical comments about Sandra Fluke, and our awardee, Judith, mentioned the names he called, and you know, of course, the GOP excluded her from testifying on the panel, the all-male panel about women's reproductive health, but he's nonsensical, and it's easy to dismiss him as a jokester in some ways. In fact, during the Throw the Citrus campaign, he said he was just a big ball of fuzz, and he was just trying. But he knows his audience, and he makes them laugh. And by doing that, he also slips in all of his philosophy. But he is now the poster boy, and I'm counting on Planned Parenthood to give him comprehensive sex education. Clearly doesn't understand that birth control pills are taken daily, not just when you want to have sex. And so I thought we could explain to Rush, it's like the difference between Cialis and Viagra. Okay. That I thought you might be able to understand. Now, I particularly like the feminist response to this. Among other things, Senator Nina Taylor, a state senator, put in a bill. This is also in response to the Virginia law that went into effect, the Texas that was debated and voted down. The Texas law that is in effect, that to get an abortion, a woman has to have a transvaginal sonogram. You know, it's like a 10-inch wand used to have a sonogram in the first trimester, and have medically inaccurate prescribed, because they don't trust the doctors to actually say what they're supposed to say if it isn't prescribed specifically because it is medically inaccurate, anti-abortion counseling, and then a mandatory delay on top of that. And so Nina Taylor's bill was that for a man to get a prescription for Viagra, he would have to have a cardiac stress test to show he was physically able to have sex without danger. He would have to have counseling from a sex therapist to make sure it wasn't all in his head. And my favorite, consent, written consent from his sexual partner. Now, Rush also in this process has revealed a new perversion, and that is voyeurism. You will recall he said he wanted her to post her sexual activities online. But we also have to remember in a very serious way that this is not the first time that he and many others like him have used women's sexuality as a means to attack women in a very personal way, in a way that's designed to make other women back off and say, oh no, not me, I don't want equality. No, I'm sorry, you must have mistaken me for somebody else. I'm not a feminazi and I don't want equality, and Lord knows I'm not a slut or a prostitute. That's the attack that is brought against women who stand up for ourselves and for each other. And I think of, for instance, Glenn Beck, may his show rest in peace, who had a debate with himself on air about, remember, because during the, I want to say the 2008 campaign, but it might have been earlier than that, Mary Landrieu was running for re-election to the Senate, from U.S. Senate from Louisiana, and he had a debate with himself about whether she was a street corner hooker or a high-class prostitute. And Rush Limbaugh settled, and he went on the show the next day and said that she was a high-class call girl. So this is something that's used repeatedly, and as Judith identified it, as a means of humiliation and as a lesson, object lesson in what happens if you don't stay in your place. So I'm hoping that none of us will stay in our places. We've already seen 150 or so advertisers pull their advertising from this show. I a delegation from this chapter to go to the station here locally that carries his show and meet with them, and when they don't pull it from the air, picket them.
Yes.
It will keep the story in the news. It only takes a handful of people to picket at their station. And then others of you write letters to the editor to follow up, and others of you call into radio talk shows to talk about it. Somehow, let's put that pressure on so that we can have Rush Limbaugh go the way of Dr. Laura and Glenn Beck before him. Now, I want to tell you the reasons I'm optimistic. I mean, I focused on Rush Limbaugh for a couple of reasons. One is that he has a massive audience. He has a huge megaphone. Two is that I like that we have a very strong interest in electoral politics, and Lord knows, Judith, with what went on in Tallahassee, we know that electoral politics are very important. But I wanted to recognize that as a feminist organization, one of the advantages now has is that we look at a wide range of institutions that need to be changed. Law, medicine, media, the arts and humanities, you name the religion. Excuse me, I didn't want to leave that one out. Because one of the things I'm grateful for is that Toto has pulled the curtain back and revealed the Conference of Catholic Bishops and the GOP for who they are. I mean, they are not folks who are focused against abortion rights. They are not just focused against birth control, although that's what's been revealed. What we see with them and Rush and others is that what they really don't like is women's sexuality as a whole. You are all bad girls. And so I'm grateful for the people who stood up. I'm grateful for the button that I saw that had a picture of a suffragist probably casting the first vote in 1920. With her little outfit on, and underneath it says, slut vote. I'm inspired by the slut walks. I'm inspired by the Occupy movement that put into a clear focus the enormous economic disparities in the country that made the 99% I'm optimistic because of Gary Trudeau's Doomsbury series. I love that he called the 10-inch vaginal sonogram wand a wand of shame, and the mandatory counseling became the shaming. I was reminded of one Virginia legislator who was objecting because one of the colleagues, and it had been in the news, was talking about transvaginal sonograms, and he started, this Republican legislator who was in favor of that started talking about trans V sonograms, and didn't want to talk about vaginas. So Harry O'Neill, who is the current president of NOW, went on Glenn, no, not, what's his name, Ed O'Neill, Ed Schultz, and swore she was going to, and we caught her at a break, and we kept saying, come on, Harry, say it, come on, Harry. She was going to talk about trans hoo-hoo sonograms. Couldn't get her to do it, so just lost her courage. That's why we have red slippers. I am encouraged that when a bumper sticker came out that I have actually seen on a car in Miami-Dade County that said, don't renege in 2012. Stop repeat offenders. Don't re-elect Obama. And when that came out, it was out for only a matter of days before that website went down, that bumper sticker is no longer available. If you see one on a car, if you ever charge you with pulling it off that bumper. So I'm encouraged by the responses. I'm encouraged by Judith Seltzer and all of the Planned Parenthood people. I'm encouraged by the United Federation of Teachers. Find the blame suddenly pointed at the teachers like, oh yeah, you all are really in it for the money, we know that. I'm grateful for the FAU Women's Studies. I'm optimistic because we have such good allies like the League of Women Voters and AAW and the Democratic Party and the National Council of Jewish Women. I mean, this is a very... And who?
Last.
Last. speak to me. Tell me who the mask is.
Bisexual, lesbian, and straight together.
Bisexual, lesbian, and straight together. See, this I didn't even know existed. I'm doubly excited. So if my movement has just expanded right before my very eyes. And for Emma, of course. And I am grateful and optimistic because of all of you. When I was called and asked to come up here to speak, I did it for myself, okay? Because I needed that shot in the arm.
Yes.
But I found, thinking about what I wanted to say, and thinking about all of you, and seeing all of you, that inspiration is going to keep me going again. And so I want to thank all of you, and all of the organizations, as well as, especially, Palm Beach National Organization for Women, for having this wonderful event.
Okay, she was she really said it all, didn't she?
She certainly did. She just, you know, she said exactly what we needed to hear, and it gave me the energy that I really need, that I really needed, and I love this event for it, because each year I get to hear the person that we choose as board to bring into Palm Beach County. Amazing.
Yeah, she was amazing. So, okay, I have to wrap this segment up. So tell me what people need to know.
Well, we have a couple of things that are coming up. First of all, in her speech, Patricia Ireland mentioned that she wanted us to be focused and will be working on the Rush Limbaugh issue and challenging Clear Channel Radio to remove him from the air. I've been the liaison for Florida National Organization for Women to reach out to Clear Channel and try and remove him from the air. That has not happened. They've basically told us that he has the option. If we're not, you know, that the argument that they're going to use that we're trying to limit free speech, and we're not trying to limit free speech. He can say whatever it is that he wants to say. We just want Clear Channel to not be his venue. So anyway, that's one thing that's coming up in May. We're going to have protests, at least one, possibly more than one. And also on April 16th, we're going to have Palm Beach County now is having our election meeting for the board for the year. And we encourage everybody to come to the meeting. If you're a member for $35 a year, you are able to vote at that meeting, regardless of what you become a member. You can become a member at the door, and that gives you the opportunity to vote for the board. And then finally, I'm sorry, I know I'm taking up a lot of time, but finally, the 2nd and 3rd of June, Palm Beach County now has been honored with hosting the statewide conference, Now Conference, Florida Now Conference. So we're going to have it at the Marriott in West Palm Beach. We've done it once before, and it's always such a great treat. It's such a great opportunity. We're going to be focused, obviously, on the elections that are coming up. So it's going to be a really exciting event and a good opportunity to meet people from all over the state of Florida.
Absolutely. Sounds like a great networking opportunity. Well, Merritt, thank you so much for bearing with me, my little technical glitches. Thanks very much. It's always a pleasure to have you. And we'll have you back soon.
Coming on.
All right. Take care.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And I know that I have Diana, the goddess of politics. Diana? Demarest,
yes,
are you there?
I am here, ma'am. Thank you.
Okay, great. Well, we have Diana Demarest. She is a political consultant in Palm Beach County and Lady Doe, who has a lot of answers about a lot of stuff. And I have a question for you, Diana.
Sure.
I want to know what is going on? What was the deal in Wellington? All the brouhaha that went on. How did that happen? What is that?
Okay, well, I mean, the long and the short of it is it's a software problem, and it was a software problem acknowledged by the Vice President of Customer Relations for Dominion Voting, a Waldeep Singh. The issue with the software was there's two segments of entry that the supervisor puts into the system. The first is the ballot template, And there you enter in the races and the person's name. So in that ballot template, the order of which it was inputted was mayor, seat 1, seat 4. The secondary thing that is input is something called a tally template. And this particular part of the system takes the data from these cartridges and inputs it and automatically imports it to the system to match the ballot with the tally vote. And unfortunately, the way the system decided to import that data was in the order of seat 1, seat 4, mayor. So in essence, it pointed all the wrong tallies to all the wrong candidates. So as a result of this and looking at this, this was something that it just so happens that a Dominion rep was here on the ground testing a new version of software, and they were able to correct the order in which the candidates were appearing on the tally side of the system and therefore repointing the correct data to the correct candidate.
Now, is it normal for the manufacturer of software, election software, to send a rep for an election in a small town like Wellington?
Say that again.
Is it a normal thing for a software manufacturer of election software, is it normal for them to send a rep to a small town election like, I mean, because Wellington is a small town.
Well, it was just kind of a happenstance. Currently, the county of Palm Beach County is on a version called 3.1. The supervisor's office was in the process of purchasing the upgraded version, which is version 4.0. And so Dominion just happened to be here testing that new version of software when this problem occurred. Now, the problem here is that Susan Booker has gotten beat up pretty good in the blogs and in the press on this whole thing. And
Susan Booker is the supervisor of elections for Palm Beach County.
Yes, that's correct.
For anybody that's listening in northern Florida that may not know. Okay.
Now, according to the Vice President of Customer Relations, his first statement was, the incorrect reporting of vote totals, which occurred in the Wellington election, was caused by a mismatch between the software which generates the paper ballots and the central tally system. This synchronization difficulty is a shortcoming of the version of software currently being used in Palm Beach County, and that shortcoming has been addressed in a subsequent version of the software. These enhancements will help to prevent such an anomaly from occurring in the future. Dominion is in the process of providing this newer version to Palm Beach County. Thank you. And it's signed Waldeep Singh, Vice President of Customer Relations.
This happened right after that problem?
Oh, immediately after. Days.
Immediately after. Now, did Palm Beach County buy this software originally?
Well, going back to past tense, in 2007, Supervisor Booker, as a candidate, who was running for the position of Supervisor of Elections, appeared before the County Commission and implored them not to buy this system. At the time, the supervisor of election was Arthur Anderson, and he recommended the system. And I actually happened to be at that meeting the day that Supervisor Booker had appeared before the commission, and her exact words were, I may inherit this. And she was very concerned because there was only one other county out of the 67 counties in the state of Florida that is running on this system, and that is the county of Indian River. The rest of the state is on another certified system by the state called ESNS. Now,
so how come everybody else is on ESNS and these two counties have this other stuff?
Well, it's a choice. It's up to the supervisor. The state basically certifies all software and all hardware, all peripheral devices such as modems. These all have to be, by state statute, certified by the Secretary of State's office. If it is not certified by the Secretary of State's office, the Supervisor of Elections can't use it. So they can pick from a list of systems that are available and that are certified by the state, and the rest of the state is on ESNS, and Indian River picked Dominion, and Supervisor Booker had begged them not to pick Dominion, but they did. And so the county bought this before Susan Booker even took office.
And so does the state take a look at, in other words, if they say you can buy, these are the softwares that you can buy, you can choose from, Did they check them out and make sure that they work properly? Did they test them? Did they do whatever?
Well, you know, they're supposed to test the systems. Again, they have testing standards, and what they do is they put forth a testing parameters document. We plan on testing X, Y, and Z and these things. And then there are actual testing notes, which tell what they actually did end up testing. And additionally, by statute, the state is supposed to update their testing standards and upgrade them every off-year election. The last testing standards that Susan Booker's office has on record is from 2005, which tells me that the Secretary of State...
7 years ago.
That's correct. And so there has been a lot of, neglect here. We have a statute. The statute says you're supposed to update these systems, test these systems every off-year election, and our state hasn't looked at it since 2005 as far as we know.
The state is supposed to test these systems every off-year election. The state is responsible for doing that, and the state has,
yes,
has not applied their own rules and regulations.
It's law. You know, it's not
law.
Even a rule or a
the
maybe,
state, the,
it shall.
The state hasn't complied with its own law.
That's
now,
correct.
Is it the same person? Is it a different person that took over in 2005 that's supposed to be doing this? Or?
Well, you know, Charlie Crist was in office, and now it's Rick Scott in office. And, you know, when you have a changing of the guard in these elections, the new guys coming in probably really don't know what's going on. I mean, the fact of the matter is they're political appointees. So just because you're sitting in the seat and you're a political appointee does not, necessarily mean you know what's going on in the world. And so getting back to the Wellington thing, Susan Booker's office certified the election, handed it off, and then ran an audit. And there has been a lot of, again, she's getting hit in the press for this, because she certified an election before performing an audit. And so I wanted to clear that up for any listeners who have that question, because I've received that question via email and on phone many, many times. You know, why are we certifying elections before we're, actually
auditing
these elections? Because it seems to me it's the cart before the horse, or it's kind of, backwards.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in Florida Statute 101.591, and I invite anybody to go to My Sunshine and look that up, again, Statute 101.591, the first number one thing in the statute states, immediately following the certification of each election, the county cabinetry board or local board responsible for certifying the election shall conduct a manual audit of the voting systems used in randomly selected precincts. So it's the legislature that wrote the law, and all Susan Booker's office did was follow the law. She certified, then audited. Now, what everybody out in the world needs to know here is that the procedures that Susan Booker has put in place worked. They worked, because in her post-election audit, she found the mistake. She found the problem. She spotted it immediately. She knew immediately, looking at the ballot versus the tally, that the numbers got flipped around. And so folks that are nervous about our election system and is it safe and will my vote count, the fact that her audit catches these things, and this, and again, when you look at that particular day and those particular elections, 15 other elections, municipal elections, went off without a hitch. They were fine. They all matched the audit. They were good. It was just this particular election. And so obviously, if you had 16 elections and 15 were fine and one wasn't, they didn't do anything different in the 16th election than they did in the previous 15. So there was absolutely no reason for this to happen other than a software bug.
Mm.
Instead of bringing the officer or the president of Dominion here to South Florida, where the problem was, into Palm Beach County, instead they flew him to Tallahassee, and with Tallahassee, they formulated a new statement, which is now stating it is clear that the mismatch was not the result of a bug. Now, one of the companies I own is a software development company. I deal with database and software. I've been doing it for 16 years. This is a bug. If it's a mismatch, then it's a problem in the code. It is not a problem with user error, because in speaking to Susan Booker's office and looking at the documentation that she has reviewed with her technical staff, this is not documented anywhere in the documentation provided by the manufacturer of this product. And, you know, if you don't have – it's supposed to give an error message. It's supposed to say, hey, the ballot doesn't match the tally. Something's up. We got to fix something here.
So but it's supposed to be – it's programmed to notice there is human error. It's supposed to catch it, is what you're saying.
A programmer, a software development company – the whole point is to make sure, especially in something as important as an election piece of software, it's supposed to be designed so that a user cannot make this type of an error. So the only other thing that could make this kind of an error is a bug in the code. And they don't want to admit that because, let's face it.
But they did.
Secretary of State's office, they did and then they didn't. And so that's kind of smelly to me. I mean, I don't know.
Well,
that's
isn't that Etch-a-Sketch time again?
Well, yes, it's Etch-a-Sketch, and it's smoke and mirrors. You know, it appears that politics is outweighing the importance of democracy in this circumstance, because you have a state who has to certify this stuff. You have a state that certified it. And in many cases, in other peripheral devices in the system, did not test them, but certified it without testing, and we can get to that in a minute. But instead of admitting the problem, it's, you know, they're basically trying to just point the finger at Susan and her staff. Now, she's had 23 election days since she's been in office, special elections and midterm elections and municipal elections. She's never had a problem. And she's used the same procedures that she's used. And the 23 election days is probably thousands of races when you consider all, you know, everybody, including, you know, little improvement districts and all these other special taxing districts and ballot questions and all of these things, never had a problem in 3 years. And now all of a sudden this occurs and it's user error. And I'm finding that very disingenuous as a person that is familiar with programming, familiar with database applications. I think that they're just covering their behinds and letting a very dedicated, a very caring individual hang out to dry for something that they should have been aware of. I mean, here's the real telling thing. On a conference call between Susan Booker's office and the Secretary of State's office, where a Dominion representative was present, the question was asked, have you ever seen this problem before? And they said, yes, in our internal testing. And the next question was, did you tell anybody? Did you tell the state? Did you tell the users? No, we did not. So
nice.
I think there's a lot of covering of one's behind.
Oh, absolutely. Now, let me, at the risk of saying something that's obvious, but I just want to clarify. The Secretary of State is a Republican?
Yes, but I mean, the honest
and
God
Susan
truth is,
Booker is, I mean, it's a nonpartisan office, but it's known that she is a rather progressive Democrat. We've had her on the show, so.
Well,
but she is nonpartisan
that's
in her position. But doesn't it look like, I mean, if I'm just saying what you said here, if the company is sending a rep to meet with the Secretary of State so that they can synchronize their watches and basically retract a statement that was already made by that company to something that's completely the opposite of what that company said, and now there's two of them, the Secretary of State and the company, saying the same thing. Doesn't that sound like partisan politics?
Well, one could view it that way. I view this as a nonpartisan issue. I view this as people are, you know, whether they're Democrats or Republicans, they don't want to take the blame. This is too high profile. Palm Beach County has been on the radar, you know, a bunch of times, and so I think it's a matter of a department trying to not take responsibility for their negligence of testing, their negligence of not paying attention, their negligence of not ensuring that in their certification processes that if there's a problem with the software, the state is notified immediately, the users are notified immediately, and a plan is put in place to correct whatever the issue is. I mean, look, software has problems. Technology fails. everybody who owns a computer knows this. Mm-hmm. You know, anybody who's had Windows and it locks up or it freezes or they get some, you know, cryptic error, there's bugs. There's mm-hmm. always bugs. I'm a software developer. We have bugs. Everybody, Bill Gates has bugs. So, you know, the reality is you can admit a bug and step up to the plate and just be honest about it. And I'm not really sure if it's partisan or not. I mean, the fact of the matter is Susan Booker was a very big Democrat when she was in the legislature, and, yes, she carried that banner with a big D. But since she has been in Palm Beach County, she has stayed out of partisan politics. She has stayed out of party races. She has done everything the right way. She has tried to do everything by the book. And, you know, what I find here is a strangeness that when you have somebody come out and take responsibility, and then the president of the company comes out and, you know, walks that back, and the fact that they didn't send the president of the company here where we have the problem, they sent the president of the company to Tallahassee where the problem, you know...
At the very least, that's odd.
Well, I think it's telling. People want to get their story straight. They want to get their story straight. And,
well, if they tell the truth,
Susan,
there's really nothing to get straight. It's just telling the truth. It's only when you lie that you have to get your story straight.
Well, and you know, there you have it. I mean, I wasn't going to be... that,
oh, but I will.
Oh, well, yes, you can, and say lie. I can say factually inaccurate, but, you know.
I mean, because that's the bottom line. If you're telling the truth, there's nothing to corroborate. You're just telling the truth. You don't have to remember anything. You're telling the truth.
On this planet that I know of who will always tell the truth, I mean, obviously she told the truth. Susan Booker rained holy hell terror on her head with this. Now, there is not a more honest human being on the planet. I mean, she came out and said, I found a problem, this is the problem, and I want to fix the problem. You know, she wasn't really so worried about, you know, is she going to get reelected? She's worried about making sure that the process is right, the process is accurate, and that the voters have confidence that this system is not going to fail them in a presidential in 2012.
Absolutely, and that there is a big problem with confidence, voter confidence, all over the country. I don't think it's just here. I think a lot of people have that. I mean, if they're thinking, if they pay attention to anything that's gone on, I would think that they have doubts.
Well,
so I can,
you know,
certainly understand concern.
Well, and guess what? Susan is concerned, too, because now we're going to be dealing with version 4.0, and the state says, well, we're going to expand our testing standards, but we haven't, you know, we haven't been able to, you know, for this problem, but we haven't been able to reproduce the problem yet. And my question is, if you can't reproduce the problem or you haven't been able to figure it out, how are you, you know, what are you going to expand your testing standards to? To me, this just sounds like platitudes. You've got to be able to reproduce the problem. And quite honestly, I think any database guru worth their salt would probably be able to. I think that the state is just wanting to point the finger at Susan Booker's office and make her take the blame for something that, A, she discovered openly and honestly. B, she cares more than anybody on this planet to fix. And I find that I think the state is less concerned about fixing it than they are about not looking bad in the press. And that to me is a very telling thought of what we're dealing with up in Tallahassee. And they need to come down from the ivory tower on this, because this is democracy.
There's so many things they need to come down from the tower, and not just this, but this is certainly big time bad.
Well, you know, there are other things too that she, you know, Susan Booker's office has taken hits on. Late returns, for instance. You know, Susan wanted to get modems to transmit data directly to the tabulation center as quickly as possible so we could have fast returns. So they tested the first set of modems that were offered to them. And the modems would upload the data. There would be nothing happening on the screen. You couldn't tell what got transmitted, what didn't make it, what could have made it. And so that wasn't very useful because you don't really know what got there. So she rejected those modems out of hand and said, these obviously don't work. They got certified, by the way, without being tested by the state. So here again is another testing scenario where the state had an obligation to test something to make sure it worked, and it didn't. So they brought in another set of modems and said, okay, these are the modems, these are going to work, this is great. They got certified by the state, and they were analog modems, and there are a lot of polling locations such as clubhouses, libraries that are on digital phone lines. Now, the schools are all on analog because Susan has all the schools available to her for polling locations. So the second set of modems would only work in the analog locations, which took out the libraries, took out the civic centers, took out the homeowners' clubhouses where a lot of people vote. So she had to reject the second set of modems. Another situation, which I can attest to personally, was back in 2010, I had a race for school board District 6, which was Dean Grossman against Marcia Andrews. And that was a close enough race where it was a automatic state-mandated recount by statute. Again, we have the testing parameters. The testing parameters of the system said, we're going to test a two-page ballot. In examining the testing notes of what they actually tested, they only tested a one-page ballot. And so as a result of that, when we had to do the recount in the Dean Grossman race, he was on the second page. It was a two-page ballot. And so the system was supposed to be able to read both pages and just pick the Dean Grossman-Marcia Andrews race to be able to tally that one race. Well, unfortunately, it didn't work. So as a result, Susan and her staff had to separate 64,000 ballots. So we're talking 128,000 plus pieces of paper, just pull out page two and be able to read the Dean Grossman race. And that was supposed to be tested. That was never tested. And so Susan got up in the press because there were such late returns on that race. But people didn't realize. I was sitting there watching the recount. He was my client. I was sitting there watching staff before they could run anything through the high-speed counters, having to separate two pieces of paper by hand. So when you have these types of trouble, when you tie the hands of the supervisor's office, which every supervisor of election in the state is in this debacle, the laws dictated to them what they can and can't do. The equipment and the software is dictated to them what they can and can't use. Things that are supposed to be tested aren't. And so when those things need to be used, they don't work. And so supervisor has to go to plan B. And the press doesn't write about this. Susan's been telling the press this stuff for 3 years, but they only print the stuff that, you know, will give them a good story. They don't let the facts get in the way of a good story. So it's very sad to me. Because I know how much she cares and how much she wants to fix this and how much she wants Palm Beach County to get off the radar. And the state is doing absolutely nothing to bring that thought forward.
So what did we recommend our listeners do? Is there anything that they can do?
Yes, absolutely. This is all in control of the legislature. Their state representatives and their state senators can write law. They can demand an investigation into this. You know, we have a Palm Beach County delegation of legislators, both Democratic and Republican, both in the House and in the Senate, and it's really their responsibility. This is Palm Beach County. They represent us. And what they ought to be doing is knocking on the door of a Secretary of State, asking about testing standards, asking why those testing standards weren't updated, asking why, you know, first we get a release that says it's our fault, and then we go, oops, it's not our fault, it's user error. You know, the legislature needs to step up to the plate and look at these issues to make sure that this never happens again. And to make sure that every vote in our county and in every county in the state counts. And that's their responsibility. And so what people can do is contact their state senator, contact their state rep, ask them to look into this and to contact the Secretary of State's office to look into why this is going on and what are they going to do to fix it. You know, blame is blame, and nobody wants to hear the blame game. People want solutions. And that's what I can only ask your listeners to do, is to contact your electeds and make them make this right, because we need to make this right.
Okay. Okay. That's a course of action that people can take. And that's positive. And we really do like to be positive, as hard as it is to be positive today.
Well,
so, wow.
Quite a mess. And the fact of the matter is, just so the listeners know, the audit results that Susan had announced, I believe it was on March 19th, which undid two of the elections in Wellington, those results came out identical on Saturday's manual recount. The manual recount went off without a hitch. They had representatives. They had six teams. They had representatives from each campaign on every team. And these folks were able to monitor and watch the ballots. They manually looked at each and every ballot. It was close to something like 6,000 ballots. It was 59 and change. And they examined every ballot, every vote. The canvassing board was on hand, and they examined any ballots that were in question. And the vote tally came out on Saturday's recount the same as it did post-election audit. And, again, this tells me that the procedures that the supervisor of elections office has put in place work because the count was right.
Well, there you have it. And we're almost out of time, so we're going to have to leave it there. But I think that you've laid it out pretty clearly, and people now know what they can do to make a difference. And I hope that our listeners are activists, I would say, pretty much. Get active in this area because it affects everyone. So thank you very much, Diana, for sharing with us all this information and clarifying any muddy areas that may have been existing in people's consciousnesses. And I'm sure we'll have you back again soon. We love you very much.
Well, thank you very much for having me. I really enjoy coming on, and you guys are doing some great work, and I really appreciate you being out there.
Thanks very much, Diana. Take care.
Hey, you too. Bye-bye.
All righty. Bye-bye. Okay, everybody, that's it. We're almost out of time. Good night.
There's a better world to come in, tell you why. There's a better world to come in, tell you why. We will beat 'em on the land, on the sea, and in the sky. There's a better world to come in, tell you why. There's a better world to come in, don't you see. There's a better world to come in, don't you see. When we'll all be union and we'll all be free, there's a better world to come in, don't you see?